Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Hello and welcome back to another classically 20s episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, today is, I know it's been a little bit of, been a while since I've gotten on here and actually tackled that classic horror that I love so much that I had started to do, a month or so ago. But we've had a lot of episodes coming out, had a lot of stuff going on. And now, let's get back into this because I got one more movie from the 20s, and then we're going to move on to the 30s on the next one. So this movie, without further ado, is from 1924, Waxworks. I know you all have heard about Waxworks. Now look, there is a lot of movies that have come out recently in the 80s, 90s, Waxworks-based stuff, right? I think they're all, I'm pretty sure they're all based off of the same premise from this movie. Now, this movie was directed by Leo Brzezinski and Paul Lenny, written by Heinrich Gallien, because once again, these 20s, early 20 horror movies was made in Germany. Good stuff. Stars Emil Jannings as Harun al-Rashild. Okay. Conrad Veidt as Onward. Ivan the Terrible. I need to learn how to read and speak. I'm telling you. Werner Krauss as Jack the Ripper. William Dieterle as the Poet. And I know there was Paul Mansfield as the Grand Vizier. You know, there's quite a few on here. The basic storyline in this is much like the current movies. With the exception if, you know, the one, when is the one, what, one came out in the 80s, I think, here. Let me see. Waxworks. 1988. So the 1988 film is what I'm thinking of. It starred Deborah Foreman, Zach Galligan, and Anthony Hick. Now, with these types of movies, basically you have some unsuspecting people that make their way into a waxworks, a wax house, whatever they call them. And the wax beings start coming alive and ensue horror on the people that are there. It even happens, they even did a more recent one, didn't they, with, what's their nuts from the hotel? The hotel lady Hilton, Paris Hilton, right? Didn't they just do that with Paris Hilton? Something like that. Whatever. Waxworks. I don't know what it was. Let's type in Paris Hilton and see if that comes up. I'm pretty sure she was in that movie. Yeah. Oh, that one's called House of Wax. Same premise, same kind of thing. That was from 2005, but it's the same kind of thing. You know, the waxworks inside these House of Wax thing, they come alive. But the difference is in this one here, we have a guy that that runs the waxwork that actually wants to hire somebody who hires a journalist or a poet to actually write stories for the different displays that he has, right? He has put write a backstory for his wax models of Harun al Rashid, Ivan the Terrible, and Jack the Ripper, in order to draw more of an audience. So you know, the Harun al Rashid one was interesting. The poet, you know, sees himself in his story as the pie baker Assad, where he lives with his wife Maimoon, yeah. And this whole story is the Rashid, El Rashid, ends up finding out about this guy's wife because the Grand Vizier sees her. They're trying to find this man. There's a whole big storyline with this. But he sees the baker's wife and he becomes enchanted with her, you know, basically obsessed with her. After being captivated by her beauty. Now he steals away from his castle because they have, there's one night out of the year or something like that where the nobles have to dress as peasants and they walk around amongst the peasants. Now this guy is not going to fit in among the normal people, the everyday people, because this guy is large and in charge, if you know what I mean. And if you don't, too bad. But anyway, he sneaks his way into the baker's house where the wife is at and starts, you know, now they had this thing called a wishing ring. This is one thing that I had forgotten. He slips in it's confusing. Assad is the baker. He sneaks into the castle because he wants to steal this thing called a wishing ring. Which is supposed to be, I don't know, it's a wishing ring. So he goes in there and he sees somebody lying in the Al Rashid's bed. He cuts off his arm and he's freaking out because there's no blood, there's no nothing. There's like, he takes off running through the city. Al Rashid's guards are chasing him as well. But the Al Rashid was actually at his house with his wife, and he had the actual ring. So as the husband comes home, banging on the door, let me in. They have to hide the El Rashid, Harun El Rashid. He hides in a baking oven. Now the guards, they rush in to arrest Assad for the attack on the palace, right? But Assad's wife uses the wishing ring to wish that Al Rashid spring forth unharmed. And because of this, he comes out of the oven. She then wishes that Assad be named official baker for Al Rashid. Her wish is granted, and the couple come under the caliph's protection. So, that story. Al Rashid likes the wife, goes to try and bed her, I guess. Has to hide in the oven. The guards think that El Rashid is dead, but the wife makes a wish on a wishing ring that El Rashid would be safe. He comes out of the oven and, hey, everybody's happy. The husband is the baker for the castle. Nice. Now, the second episode, there was three quick episodes in this. I mean, three different stories that were written. The second episode, treated in a slower and more somber vein, deals with the Tsar of Russia, Ivan the Terrible, whom the poet describes as making cities into cemeteries. Your cities will be cemeteries. Heard that in Demons. But anyway, the Tsar takes physical delight in watching his victims die after poisoning them. Ivan's poison mixer writes the name of the victim on an hourglass. This is funny. And once they're poisoned, the hourglass is turned over. The man dying just stands there, you know, and watches the sand fall. The poison mixer, who has taken pity on the victims, is singled out by Ivan as the next to be poisoned. But unseen, the poison mixer writes Tsar Ivan, which is Tsar Ivan, you know, Ivan the Terrible, on the hourglass. Ivan is supposed to attend the wedding of a nobleman's son, and paranoid that he is being targeted, dresses the nobleman as himself and drives the sleigh to the wedding. There, the nobleman is killed with an arrow and his daughter, Eva, and her bridegroom, the poet, who is actually, you know, in the first one, he was Assad. Now the poet is the bridegroom here. They're in shock as Ivan takes over the festivities, eventually absconding with her and holding the groom in his torture chamber. On the wedding night, Ivan hears that he has been poisoned and races to the torture chamber to reverse his fate by turning the hourglass over. He does it again and again, and the final title says that Ivan became mad and turned the glass over and over until the end, until his end of days. Whew. Talk about stuff. Anyway, so the final story is Jack the Ripper. Now, after the poet finishes the two stories, he wakes up to find that the wax model of Jack the Ripper has come to life. The character's name was changed to the Victorian urban legend character of Spring Hill Jack. Was he the same? I don't know. In British Prince, okay, blah, blah, blah. He felt referring to and depicting a real mass murderer was offensive. That's why they changed it to Spring Hill Jack instead of Jack the Ripper. Jack stalks both poet and the waxwork's own daughter. Yeah, well, these notes are cray-cray, brah. The poet and the girl flee, but find that they can't escape Jack through the dark, twisted halls of the museum. As Jack draws close enough, multiple versions of him appear. And as his knife begins to slash, it provokes the poet to wake up to realize that the last experience was a dream. This last one is very dreamlike. You know, because they have these times where people are appearing and disappearing and coming in and out. And it's all very, very dreamlike. But it was nice. I mean, it was good. It was a good movie. Now, is there any trivia? Because that's pretty much it for the movie there. I mean, that's the three storylines. Originally, there were four episodes planned, but the fourth, Rinaldo Rinaldi, there wasn't any money left to make it. Oh, nice. Ran out of ducats. Let's see here. Now, there's not much more in here for trivia. But that's basically it. I mean, boy, this is a short-ass episode, isn't it? What are we, 12 minutes in? And we're already finished with Waxworks from 1924. Now, going forward, we're going to be tackling the 30s next here. Let me see if I do have a list here of what we're actually going to be covering in the 30s. 1930s, Frankenstein from 1931, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from 1931, Vampire from 1932, and The Hunchback of Notre Dame from 1939. Can't wait to tackle those things, baby. Let me tell you. But, you know, we had a lot of episodes come out recently. I mean, a few. There was a couple of special episodes we had done. April 21st, we did a special episode dedicated to Prince. Huge Prince fan, part of that Prince fam thing. And I thought nothing better. April 21st was the day he died. So I thought nothing better than to have a nice little episode commemorating him and being joyous about him. Check out that episode. You can find it in my playlist somewhere. You'll see it. But that's it. That's all I have for Waxworks from 1924. Coming up, The Crow. We got a special episode on The Crow coming out. The video has actually already been released, and it's on YouTube, but the audio version will be coming streaming to all your podcatchers soon. That's it, everybody out there. Sweet dreams. Love, peace, and chicken grease. And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater. concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.